So as all the songs are saying, as you know, and it's the holiday season. Do you like Christmas carols, TJ?
I like some of them. I can't say I like all of them.
Yeah, me too.
Some more than others?
Yeah.
I guess the ones that make
What's your favorite?
Boy, now you're putting me on the spot.
Yeah, I try to do that, you know. I'm working on my interviewing skills.
My favorite Christmas carol or Christmas song?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a carol, but I like Please Come Home for Christmas, because it makes me think of getting people together, people coming back. Especially when I used to live away from where my family was, and I was 1,000 miles away, and then you think about that more. Mm-hmm. So the ones, I guess, that, you know, here's my favorite Christmas song. This is probably going to be goofy. Do They Know It's Christmas by Band-Aid. I love hearing that song. When I think about when it came out and what they were doing to others. That's just to me.
I love that one.
I mean, I can't put it on one. What is your favorite?
Well, the one you just said, Do They Know It's Christmas, has always been one of my favorite current ones. And then traditional, when I was a little girl, I, believe it or not, I think it was like 6 or 7, and I sang in a choir. You know how they have the kids' school plays? And there was a little boy who sang Oh Holy Night in high soprano. And there I was at 7 with the tears pouring down my face. And it moved me so deeply. It's always been one of my favorite traditional ones. Oh, and then there's that one, it's called Mary, by, I forget what the name of the artist is, but the words to it are just beautiful. And it's, you know, it talks about honoring Mary while Christ did his work, and that she's the one who stayed here and dealt with the aftermath, and it was just beautiful. So I have a few. I do love the season of peace, though. Yeah. I do, and in my, And I feel that it seems important to keep that season alive every day, too. I don't feel it's a through the month of December thing. I just get excited that everyone gets on board finally, you know?
It's like we start thinking about more peace and love and being together with others, and everybody's thoughts turn to that. And it's like, why? It'd be nice you can't force people, but everybody's thoughts, if we could just be reminded of that every month, if we had Christmas every month. Not the part about buying all the gifts, because I'd be broke, but I mean, as far as the remembering the love and the peace that go with the time.
Well, as we all know, that's the true gift. Although I do like to buy in the present stuff. I am a shopping goddess by nature. I admit it. I do. I love tuning into people's souls to feel what they would desire. There's a thing for that with me. And then, of course, I run an organization that deals with stuff, you know? So it's part of what's in my soul.
That's true. So. They make nice gifts.
Yeah. Yes. So when we were talking about today's show, we also wanted to talk a little about Ferguson and things that are happening with people on the planet today, right?
Well, you know, you and I, through an email, I had said to you, and I'm sure a lot of people are noticing, there is a lot of unrest over several different topics, but right now what's making the media, and of course the media certainly plays this up, but they are painting minorities very angry with law enforcement. And my observation is that, you know, not everybody in law enforcement is evil or bad. Matter of fact, many of the people I know in law, they're just like anybody else. And some of them make mistakes, and some of them have bent the rules and not been held accountable, because it seems like when you're in authority you seem to get away with it a lot more. And I think this is the great truth that we're seeing rising to the top, that everybody's going to be held accountable. You could look at a place where you work, and I see that where I work, that people in authority tend to get away with things, and they actually push the envelope even more. And I'm one of those people that's not going to let that happen too much, because I'm going to call them out.
Yeah.
So I see that they're all uniting, African American, I'm sure other races as well, to go after what they perceive as unfair treatment. And sometimes it may be, and sometimes it may be not. But perhaps the greatest thing to come out of that is at least we're looking and seeing that everybody needs to be accountable for their actions. And then on top of that, there's going to be, like you and I talked about, we're going to have to find peace and forgiveness in all of that.
Yeah. Now, a lot of what you said about accountability, it just rings a chord of how the systems are literally dying off. And one of the ways that, you know, that's happening is by people not stepping up. And believe it or not, it's like the worse it looks, the more we're moving in to a different kind of resolution. So I think all these things that have been hidden and all these issues of responsibility or not being responsible, it's going to escalate. It's going to escalate until there's a leveling off. Mm-hmm. That people really get it. At least that's my perception.
Yep.
And like you, I don't feel it's the system of the police. I feel it's individuals. You can look at any group and find an individual who is operating from heart. It's the magnitude of the energy, the primary energy in the system itself that is denser, that creates disharmony. But the points of light are everywhere to remind us. I think that they're established there as a point to remind us that these are people that are evolving too.
You want to hear?
There are some that are doing it from their heart, and some just don't. They're not present, and they do this stuff. You know.
You want to hear a really cool story? I don't know if you heard about this, Joy, but you're going to like this story. It happened in Lower Michigan. There was a young man who must have been dating this woman. I didn't get the whole story, but this happened last week, I believe. This young man, somewhere in Lower Michigan, he was dating a woman, and he decided to, I don't know if him and the woman were going out for the night, but he brings this woman's baby to his mother's house, and the mother is sleeping, and he puts the baby in bed with his mother, and he takes off. Now, that's obviously not something very wise, but the woman, his mother wakes up, and she sees this baby next to her, and she calls police because she doesn't know who this is. And so the police come and pick up the baby, and here they are changing the diaper at the police station. They're feeding the baby. And finally, you know, the son returns home and says, oh, well, that's my girlfriend, or the woman he was dating. That's her baby, and I just thought I could drop it off without even telling his mom, you know. And so the mother came, and she was kind of freaked out about it. I don't know. She must have known about it, you would think. And so they didn't charge anybody with that. But it just shows you that the police, they got love in their hearts as well. And maybe there's some individuals that don't, but most of them are just doing what like the rest of us do.
Well, I feel that that's true. Like I said, it's the individual. Yeah. The system itself is not an individual. It's not one person. So it's something that's been established that has been rocky for a long time. It hasn't been working for people, the system. But there are individuals in the system that are there with integrity. And I think that that can give us hope anywhere, you know. Now, I understand, too, that people that have lost their children to violence. You can't, you know, the grief process is anger and it's sadness and it's denial. And it's trying to make sense out of a senseless thing for the parents. And at the same time, there's so much that goes on with these issues that, and they're escalating because there's a message here that we need to get. But it feels more that we need to work together to find the resolution. I heard a rap song recently that this musician put out, and he said, we need to have a discussion. We need to have a discussion. Like, to hear each other and to be present for each other and to say what isn't working, not rip apart towns and hurt each other to make a point, because that's backfiring. It's not working.
Right.
It's the intention, the truth, and the message we bring forth and stay present with each other from our hearts that can help bring resolution to this. There are things too, though, I have that I have in my heart that I've been feeling. I had worked with people who have had people murdered, that I've done readings for them. And I want to address something about that, because during the holiday season, people grieve harder, I think, and especially people that have lost loved ones to violence. Holidays and birthdays are the hardest times. And hopefully this will bring a little grace into the situation. But a lot of times when violence occurs with souls, the soul leaves the body long before the death occurs. So what happens is the soul is held in grace while the body is completing its death. And I think that that is grace. That's a way that our soul says, okay, I'm ready. I'm going home now. That soul made that choice to leave. And as soon as they make that choice, they go. A lot of times people think of the suffering, the aftermath, that way. But the soul, it finds grace quick. Isn't that cool?
It is. Yeah, it's a good way to, you know, maybe give some peace to people that have, you know, obviously if you lose somebody that way, that's going to, you know, even as balanced as you are, as anybody is, you know, that's still going to be something that's difficult to deal with. We know there's a bigger reason for all of it, but just the suddenness of it and the violence of it. It's one thing somebody dies naturally, but to have their life taken. Then you wonder many different reasons. Well, was it done because it was a karmic debt? Was it done because they drew that into their thoughts? Who knows? And there's many different things that make you wonder.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are times, too, when a soul will choose to go violently to leave a message for people.
Right, yeah.
They'll leave a message. And that's happening with earth changes, too, where groups of souls will choose to go together because they're going home and they, they decided to leave the planet together while the earth is shifting, and they're leaving a big message about how people need to treat the earth, or hijacked planes, groups of people that go like that. There's usually a strong message and a global aftermath. Because those souls, that's their mission. It's not something that I'm saying that I advocate violence. That's not what I'm saying. I'm looking at what would propel a soul to live a life and then leave that way, you know.
Right.
I have been to some of the funerals of people that I have read their families and that sort of thing. But I was thinking of this one place that I went, or this one service I went to with this woman who I had been working on the case with, and she died right around Christmas, and her service, she was there. They go to their own services, they witness, they look and see who shows up, And she had very strong messages she wanted to leave about animals and different things about kindness, and those messages came through. And her service brought hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people together. It was phenomenal. And yet, when she lived her life, she was shy and she was quiet and she retreated into herself. But you didn't know the magnitude of how she affected people and how people got together to create change from just from meeting up with that. It was amazing, amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking about how the outcome, you know, the outcome affects and brings about resolution in ways after the violence. It's interesting. It's very interesting to see what the world does, like during this time, with situations that come up, because we can look at it as a way to come into a resolution for something if we work together. And I feel that's where we need to keep our focus.
Right.
How about you?
I agree with that. I agree with you 100%. This is just bringing our attention to it. You know, I don't know if I agree with either side because I wasn't there. I don't know what happened exactly in Ferguson. But I know it's these kinds of things are happening probably, and there are those in authority that overstep their bounds. But we can't be angry, and we certainly can be aware, but love is the only thing that's going to move anything forward. Attacking it will not. And, you know, Martin Luther King, I think, had a very good understanding. All the things he did to make changes, he did them in a loving, gentle, peaceful way. He had more impact, I think, than since Gandhi, you know. There have been very few to come along to take that approach.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
Yeah, you know... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, that's kind of what I feel, how this has to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know who I'm thinking of, too, is Malcolm X. Did you ever hear his story?
Not a whole lot.
You know, how I studied his story and his life, and he had a very, very powerful message. He literally, like at different points in his life, he tried to follow religious leaders that were involved in things, and then he found out how corrupt they were, and they actually were teaching him to hate and all different kinds of things. And then finally he broke from the religion, and he went on a spiritual journey, and he went around the world, and he sat with white people and black people and people of all different races. And he came back knowing that it was about oneness. And I think his message was very, very powerful. His story was beautiful. It was heartbreaking. It was inspiring. And I feel that he is right there with Martin Luther King, you know. I just think that... his story, because he was younger too, he didn't always, I think a lot of times they misrepresented him, but he had a very powerful message. So
do
if you get a chance, you might enjoy
reading
that. Yeah,
you know, I've only heard the history of him that he was kind of leading towards a violent, you know, part of the Black, wasn't he part of the Black Panthers? But, you know, they have a tendency to turn things around as well. We both know that sometimes it's not accurately presented, and there's a reason for that. So I will definitely take your word, and if I find out more about that, I'd be definitely interested in looking at that, because I really didn't know. The part you're talking about, I didn't understand that. No.
Well, like in the earlier part, he was part of the Black Panthers, and he was very militant. And it was interesting. I wound up at a Black Panther meeting one time. Don't ask me how it happened. But I think it was when I was first channeling. This was years ago, like 25 years ago. And there was something, I was either at a meeting or something, and there were people there or something. And I started to get this understanding about who the Black Panthers were. And it came to me that who they were people that were going to help destroy a system that wasn't working. They were going to shake it up because that was their job. That was their job to do that. There's always a reason for everything. And that was the approach they used. Now, Malcolm X was involved in that, and they were very committed to their cause. And yet Malcolm X discovered where the problems were in things. And once he discovered when things were out of integrity with a group, he'd leave it. He'd leave it. And he did that with this religious leader he was very loyal to. He really moved beyond what this teacher taught him. And as a result of that, they were going after him. They were trying to ostracize him. And he literally went on his own. And, you know, he was killed. He was killed. So, you know, his story was moving, too. So I just want to put a word in because we're talking about peacemakers today. And I feel each nationality has their own peacemakers. You know, there's the masters that have walked the earth and that have lobbied or advocated peace or have brought peace or walked as examples. And, you know, it's just, this is a time when we need to, I think, not only reflect on peace, but remember those that have walked that, and to find that within ourselves too, that we can walk as advocates for peace too. So that's at least in my world. What do you think there?
Definitely, and history teaches us that those, you know, the ones we know in our recorded history, which only goes back a few thousand years, but we know that those that have done that have had a great impact. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people maybe think, well, but where is the strength? We live in a world where there's power and control, and love is more powerful than anything, truly. And it is.
Absolutely.
And I'll give an example of that. There was that, remember the incident that's going on in near Russia and the Ukraine? Well, initially, and I think it was the Russians that were living in Ukraine at the time. Now, everybody wants to paint the Russians as the bad people, but there's two sides to that story going on. But I think what I read was an article about the Russians that were living there, and Ukrainian soldiers were told to march on them. And these people were peacefully demonstrating because they weren't happy with the way they were treated. And instead of throwing rocks at the soldiers, which would have just escalated, they held up mirrors. These people had the courage and the strength to hold up mirrors, and these soldiers looked in those mirrors, and this was not that long ago that this happened, within the last year, and they mm-hmm. saw what they were doing or about to do to these people, and many of them turned around or stopped what they were doing. And so...
Beautiful.
We just don't see the effect that love, how powerful it is. And I think it's,
yeah.
If you truly have that energy behind you, there's nothing that could touch you. Now, most of us are not at that point.
Absolutely.
Most of us are not at that
point.
Well,
it's, it's interesting when we were emailing, we were discussing talking about whether or not peace was possible, too. And I think one of the things that's happening here is we're discussing ways that show that it is possible, and not just possible, that people are striving to live it. Like, there are some people that are not at that point, but there are groups in what I've seen that are committed to living a path of peace and that strive to do it. And ultimately, peace is an inside job. If you live, I heard the ones with no name say through flow, if every soul lived peace within themselves, what would you have? World peace. It's that simple. It's not about standing on the corner with signs and that kind of thing. And I think that that's secret of, being at peace within your own heart and vibrationally living that vibration, that does affect people, like the mirror that you just described, right? Now, people will be affected by your vibration, and it will remind them, oh, yeah, I have that in me. Just like the mirror says, oh, I can either be ugly with hatred, or I can drop the rocks or the weapons and put them down and choose to live in love. And it's that simple. It's simple, but the world believes it's complicated. And for so many people, so many people, they live in states of fear. They do.
Well, yeah.
What is it? The Course of Miracles says there's really only two emotions, fear and love. And if you live in a world of fear, then that's what you'll experience. Fear, and you'll bring it, and you'll create it, and you'll have separation and all those things that don't bring joy, happiness, and peace. But if you choose love, you live in a state of grace and really have the capacity to bring heaven to earth. So I'm so with you. The love is the key.
It is going to be always.
The love and the light.
Yep. And, you know, and we wonder, well, why is this going on in our planet? Because this is the way, and you have, and I have talked about this before, it's been designed by choice to allow this earth to be under this form of control, if you want to call it that. And we're shifting back to the time where the divine feminine is coming back, something that's very close to you, right? And this is where this change is coming. It's really just that simple. If we can remember that, there's going to be an upheaval. There's going to be some bumps in the road because the old way was an unbalanced, more of a masculine way, and I'm not ripping on my own gender, but that's what was running the show.
I get.
And it's like, now we need this to come back and balance this out. And it's really not like good or bad or evil and good. It's more of this was an experiment in duality, an experiment, and now this is the next plan that we're stepping into. And it's all part of the experience.
Yeah. Well, it's been stated, again, by the ones with no names, that it would be as if there would be two worlds coexisting simultaneously. And the one you connect with and nurture with through love, that's what you live. That's what you live. So, but the thing is, too, in order for the love world or the heavenly world to expand, is people have to desire it. And most people were raised with a belief in the great illusion. And the illusion was success was, you get up every day, you know, you work, you go, you do this thing, and, you know, you take care of your 2.5 children, and you have your car, and there's nothing wrong with those things. But when that becomes the sole purpose, and you're not in touch with your own soul and what the joy of your own soul is and how you can nurture that, people start telling themselves, oh, yeah, I'm a success, you know. So it's like they give themselves mixed messages. And, you know, it's like, so when you wake up, you realize, I love my children, I love my wife, I love my job, and I'm part of the whole, I'm part of the intricate web of oneness, and I'm here and I can do great things. So you live from a limitless state of consciousness. You're not asleep anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not plugged in to living from an attached place. When people live attached, they're chained. They're chained to their own illusion. They're not free. Waking up frees you. It frees you. So I don't think it has to be about somebody out there controlling you, because once you choose freedom and you choose to wake up, no one can do anything to you. You've made a choice.
Absolutely.
It's free will. It's freedom, you know?
Right.
So that's part of the grace. There's always the grace. We really sincerely, I really sincerely feel that we live in a beautiful world. If you look at the earth and you look at nature, we can go anywhere and connect to the vibration of heaven. We can do that, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
Sometimes people think it's hard, but it's really that in, that knowing from our hearts and souls, even when you're living through the worst of the worst, okay, people that have lived through abuse, they may sometimes, you'll hear stories how they go to nature to find their peace. So there's a way to connect with that vibration. Or if they can't do that, they may like go into altered states when they sleep. So there's always a way to connect with the vibration. Once you connect with it, it's about nurturing it and embodying it and living it and going forward from your heart. And recognizing you have the right to live self-mastery. It's part of our right to live as free lights here on this planet. How exciting is that?
Yeah, and I think that's what people are feeling and sensing more, and this is why there is upheaval a lot more. And it's meant to bring our attention to the biggest picture of all, like you said, that we are free beings and we are abundant beings. And so we know that something's not quite right with the way things are. And instead of focusing with what's not quite right, we focus on what is right, because that's what we'll get more of. So turn our attention to, instead of worrying, like you said, about those that are trying to control, turn your attention to your own self-empowerment and focus on that and focus on what you can do for yourself, which in turn will help others as well. So. Now, we were going to, are we going to, you know, we're right close to Christmas. And Christmas is really, you know, in the religious sense, in the Christian sense, is about the birth of Jesus and the Savior. Mm-hmm. Now, you and I don't necessarily believe that. We don't quite follow it that way, do we?
Well, you know, I have my own feelings about Christ. I feel he's a master, and I feel he's light and a door, and I feel he's been an embodiment of spirit and form and came to show humanity that they could live it free. So in that sense, I feel that, you know, I don't know if Savior is the word that I would use, but my feeling is that, you know, he came to show that, hey, you know, you could embody divinity in form and that you can live it. And what is it he said? All these things I do, you'll do in greater. And I personally believed him, you know, so in that, you know, so
in that respect,
that's my perception.
Yeah. In that respect, too, you know, and I was brought up with a Christian belief, Lutheran, and I accepted that. But I just thought, well, if it's a being of love, if God's a being of love, and if Jesus is love, then where are all these other restrictions? So Jesus, I see as a divine, loving master, if you will, if you want to use that term, that just had, he knew how to do all those things, how to have, he was unlimited. And I'm sure there were many beings that have been here and tried to show us that each time have come and said, you know what, this really isn't that big of a deal. Here, want a loaf of bread? Boom, here you go. You know, he was able to create those things in just a moment's notice. There was a series of books called The Masters of the Far East, which are really close to my heart. And I don't know if you've ever read them. And, you know, it supposedly was an event that took place in the 1800s, and a man and several others, 30 people, went on a journey, and they met these masters who were very enlightened, and they all could do similar things that Jesus was doing. And they said, we all can be this. We all can be this. So we were talking about maybe contacting Jesus, because we haven't done anything like that. And is that something you'd like to do?
Sure. I should probably share a little. From the time I was born, I spontaneously channeled Christ, not knowing I was doing it. And then like, I think I was 33 when somebody pinpointed out, yo, she's channeling Christ, you know? And after I discovered that, I was like, oh, there's the door. Show me what's behind the door. You're the dude, you know? And I always talk to him. My experience, I saw him, I talked to him, and I feel we can all do that. This isn't just like, oh, Joyce, talk to Jesus, and not like that, because we all can. But I would sit and eat French fries with him and discuss my worldly problems.
Did he like French fries?
Well, he didn't eat the French fries, but he would engage with me and laugh, and there was no judgment. I kind of knew he didn't need the French fries.
Right. I'm just saying. He could have if he wanted to, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a richness to his humor, too, and there's a compassion that goes so deeply to your soul that, you know, you can't help but have humor there. You know, there's this really deep, rich humor. So I'm sure he was laughing now I was in my 20s when I had that experience, but I remember I was sitting there eating French fries and I was upset about something and I was just chattering away to him. And I wouldn't do it out loud because, you know, there were people around. So with my mind, I would telepathically speak to them. But, and then when I was a little girl, the visits started and different things. But, and along the way, I would say to people, well, what do you want me to read that book for when I can just talk to them? You know, I'll have to listen to that, you know, and I mean, anything he ever said to me, I didn't, you know, I never got any judgment. I never was chastised for anything. I was received with infinite love. And that's what he does. I don't get that he's like, you know, you're going to burn in hell for this or that. I didn't get any of that, you know?
Right.
And so my journey really with him led me, you know, to the ones with no names and the goddesses, and because Christ truly walked the feminine path. He didn't wait to do it. He walked it then. He revered the earth. He revered women. He knew, you know, that his mother was a deity. He knew to listen to her. He knew to listen to Magdalene. He gave women their honor, which men didn't do back then. So he was like way ahead of his time, and he knew that the feminine was a path unto itself. He knew that. And that's where the reason why, and for years I was terrified of anything having to do with the goddess, but then when I said to him, you said you're the door, show me, I want to see what's behind it, and then all these things happened, and I got to know, I was literally led to the feminine partly through him and Flo and different people, and this was like 30 years ago. So that was a couple of days ago, Tejas. So anyway, so nowadays, yeah. So once in a great while, somebody will ask me to channel them, but, you know, so I do occasionally, and you brought it up today, and sure, why not?
Well, it ties right into this type of time of the year, whether people believe in it that way or whatever way they do. Maybe a lot of people, I see people moving away from religion, but they still have that, they know there's love there. And the people I talk to that are just waking up in droves and moving away from some of their teachings just know that there's this love. And that's the biggest thing behind it.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of pushes them away from what they've been told, because there's so many other conditions. Mm-hmm. So that's what I was...
Absolutely. Sure. I'd be happy to do it. So I'm going to take a few deep breaths, okay? And whenever. We'll be right with you, okay?
Yep, whenever you're ready.
And if you turn down the mic, too, that would help, probably.
I'll keep it.
Okay? I'm always with you. And so it is. So it truly is. For I live in your hearts and travel among men, even when they are aware and when they are not aware. I am there. I'm holder and witness for your evolution. And I am enfolding every soul on the planet through this evolutionary process that is at hand. And yes, you are allowed to ask questions, Brother Keith. We are one.
Yes, we are. So, just to clarify, you're not the Savior.
Well, some would say that is so, and for them that is accurate. Some would say I am a master, and so it is there. I represent deity or a divine expression of the source, and I am represented in whatever form one chooses to receive me. For I am not bound by limitation or definition.
And so as we see the world in chaos right now, it seems like, it's how you want to view it, I guess, but there seems to be a little more turbulence going on, things that are being brought to our attention. Is this part of the cleansing that we're seeing right now?
Well, an activation has taken place where the lights and many multidimensional lights from the etheric realms of oneness and peace have been drawing closer to Earth. And as this has been occurring, it's as if the things that are needing to return to light pop up. So what you view as conscious, as chaos, is actually a cleansing of a sort, but it's more about reordering the cellular structure of the universal grid of light that will be propelled and gently placed on the earth more fully as the density clears itself. Now, what appears as density is truly a cry for oneness. So when you hear of violence, know that those souls are seeking ways out of the density that has been created that has driven them to such acts. There's a finality that occurs with violence that creates a shift and a change. So it is the change that people seek. But they're not always conscious of that. There are many in your world that walk around asleep, and some of these are given different definitions of denser beings or people that are disassociated from who they are. And yet, at the same time, there is a spark inside of each being that has a call that has been placed on its heart to remember divinity. Now, how that occurs and when that occurs is individual. It's up to the individual, for there is free will. The call has been placed. There are those that are choosing to respond, and there are those that have chosen to remain asleep for some time yet. But know that the source energy has always been activated to work to bring about harmony, resolution, and peace, even when it appears it is not available. And that is what grace is. Grace is an ongoing flow of energy that can enfold and wrap itself around any soul or any being, whether they are aware, they are worthy of receiving it or not. and it has the capacity to shapeshift that one's world and that one's demeanor in ways they never thought possible. So grace has been fully activated as well.
So,
and for those who speak it, they will appreciate it. For those who receive it and do not know that they have received it, they will awaken to the reality of it at some point and be grateful.
So those that go through life with the belief that if I don't believe a certain way or lead a certain type of life, do they have anything to fear?
Well, remember, there is an evolutionary process with the soul that supersedes a thought process. So what one soul is experiencing in one dimension, they will simultaneously receive learnings in other dimensions they may not be open to in the point that they are living in a state of unconsciousness. So if you remember, since everything is connected, just as the electricity will run through the house, and sometimes certain areas will spark out, but the electricity will continue to work in others. It is the same with the soul, and yet there are times, even when a house loses some power, where there's enough charge in certain locations to reignite the power in other places that may not have been workable. So that's as close to a parable I want to give you. So you have a visual. You are very visual, TJ. Mm. So you see things. And you feel them, but you see things. Mm-hmm. So you can see how that would activate a soul to wake up where it would appear they are sleeping. Now remember, there is timelessness. So outside of time and space, everything has already occurred. It's all done. When a soul taps into the resolution of that fully, they live in that state of heavenly grace, which I mentioned, and they can embody their self-mastery. They are able to pull and bring through all the gifts from all the dimensions that they have. And they are able to wake themselves up in other dimensions as well. So there is quite a bit of magic involved with enlightenment. Some of it's logically understood, and some of it is very esoteric, as you know. You thrive on the esoteric because you are a conscious being. And you have a way that you define reality because you were there at the beginning and you remember the teams known as the Elohims, the creator gods, and you had seen how they would argue over whose way was right and whose way was wrong. So you witnessed conflict and you knew that some in those realms would not choose to wake up. And yet, at the same time, the timelessness factor provides a space of grace for all souls to wake up. Some may say, I will never wake up, and they will do what they do, and yet the evolutionary creation energy will continue to evolve and always hold a space for those souls if they choose to wake up.
So it is always,
so it's not,
it's always our
always
choice.
Hope.
It's always our choice to,
that's right,
to continue. If we want to be asleep, then we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it, when we,
yes, you can do that.
And what's waiting for us is always there if we choose to go back to it. Now, you made many statements when you were here that are recorded in the Bible, and I'm guessing many more were left out.
Yes.
Is there anything you would like to add to some of the things that maybe were left out?
Well, my story has been retold in many novels, in many books, and now with the evolutionary process at hand, with the story of the Magdalene, there are aspects of my story being retold, so there's more clarity going out there. My truths have always supported freedom, and where you would see or recognize anything you read in any doctrine that does keep one encaged in any way, I would say to you, these are not my words. My words are of freedom. My words are of enlightenment of the soul, of your own soul. My words are of love, and my essence is love. So I could not bring through anything other than love. And that is where you will find your clarity. That is where all find their clarity, in my love, as you know. You, as a conscious being, understand that love is at the core of all things that work, that are created, that are evolutionary. You understand that love is truly the only thing there really is, as you choose it. And those have been my work. You speak them quite eloquently.
If we, you know, you hear people that want to communicate with you, all they have to do is ask, right?
I'm available and at your services 24/7. I'm a phone line away, as the one speaking would say. You can speak to me in the stillness of your heart and get very, very quiet. And some of you will feel me, some of you will hear me, and some of you will just know I am there and that I am with you always. And indeed, I would never leave, for we are all a part of each other.
And
there is no separation.
And this is a journey that you've chosen, because not everybody chooses this journey, do they?
Well, this is a part of my journey. My journey has also included traveling interdimensionally and being a player in other planetary realms. So I have had an evolutionary process also. It is the one 2,000 years ago that has given me the most visibility. But there are others, lifetimes and roles I have played etherically in dimensions that I have chosen to experience as well. And remember, it's all going on simultaneously.
That's the hard part.
It's actually very easy, because you understand what it's like to experience the paralleling self by envisioning just who you are and seeing yourself in a dimension or in a location and recognizing that your thought created it as thus. It's actually very easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I shouldn't use those words.
It's the word that scares people.
I shouldn't use those words, because that creates my reality, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, Master TJ.
Thank you, Master Jesus. Is there anything else you want to add to this day that we honor, and people honor it for many different reasons, hopefully for peace and love? Joy and I were talking about that. What is the message you would have for this special day?
It it would be my desire that you celebrate the light in each other, that you remember that peace is possible, and that you know and live the reality that you are sparks of heaven on earth, and you have come to appear to each other, to connect with each other, to know each other, and to co-create a hologram or a world where all is possible in the magical realms of oneness. So it is my everlasting peace I offer and leave before you. May you live the peace that surpasses all understanding. Loving you all so very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. I'm phoning in again. It's Joy.
So what is that like for you when you, when you're sitting back, you're hearing this, the words are coming through you. What are you, a lot of people will be totally separated from it, but you're conscious of it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel the magnitude of the love and the light. And some of the words I remember, I feel the vastness of the soul known as Christ. And I'm in a deep state of reverence, would be the word. You know, I love Christ. Even, you know, just as I love Magdalene and I love them all, I love Christ. And I love his eloquence. I think he has a way of speaking that,
yeah, absolutely,
rich, you know. Mm-hmm. Thank you for asking to bring him through, you know.
I've always wanted to do
he
that.
He really likes you. Yeah. He loves you.
Well, I love him too.
You've always wanted to do that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, once you said, you and I have talked about this for years, that you said, well, I channeled him for 33 years, and I always kept thinking, well, I got to ask her to talk to Jesus. We've talked to Christ consciousness, you know, but why not talk to Jesus and see, you know, some people might say, well, that's sacrilegious. Well, to each their own, I would say. Mm-hmm. I believe he speaks to all of us, you know, as do many of the wise ones. He's not, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm listening.
I was
you
just
have my
say,
undivided attention.
He's not just the only one that speaks to us. There are many here that are influence us in a positive way or trying to make a help us with a positive change. And so we just have to ask whoever it is we wish to talk to, really.
Yes. Yes. So I'm finding more and more with the channeling work. I've had different people asked me to channel beings I never channeled. Like somebody asked me to do the fairies, and somebody else asked me to channel a very high being of light that I never channeled, and I did that. And, you know, because they want to communicate. And Source, I feel, is doing everything that it can to reach all souls, you know. So, It's very interesting to see how the creation of the creation energy or creation itself in all its different forms wants to speak to humanity, even with channeling work for those of us that channel, you know. Because I for a long time I was like adamant, these are the only ones I'm channeling, and there's been big shifts with that for me. And I'm excited to do it, and I'm really excited to hear what they're having to say. Mm-hmm. And it's really about love. It's really, really about love and evolving. Absolutely.
And you know, it's funny because they all kind of say the same thing. They say a lot of the same things. And so, and to me, I can, you know, if I was a skeptic and listening to this for the first time, there's certain things that I look for. And when somebody comes from a reference of love without conditions, you know, certainly it's one thing to have responsibility. We're not saying that you can go out and do whatever you want. What we're saying is that your being, your essence is loved without any conditions. And that is what we are. That's who we are. We can claim that and become that. So it was really cool to talk to Jesus. I thought that was awesome.
Good. I'm glad to hear you weren't disappointed.
No, I don't think I would be.
Well, this has been a wonderful show, and I want to wish you, my dear soul brother, the happiest of holidays and a happy new year, and to tell you once again, you're truly a wonderful gift in my life and to my heart. Thank you for all you do for me, the show, and the world. We hit pay dirt when you were born.
And I would like to say as well, and thank you, first of all. And I would say also, you have been, first of all, what you do for others and the children is amazing. And I'm glad there is somebody that I know has a lot of spunk that is going to step up to the plate and will not mince words, that's the way I am as well. And I know you'll do it in a loving way, but you're going to speak your truth. And you're the perfect person to do that. And wow. I just am so happy that I know somebody like you, and you've made an amazing difference in my life, and I'm sure many other people's lives, and you will continue to do that. And you know I love you, and I will support you in whatever endeavor that you choose to do. And I hope you have the happiest of Christmas, holiday, happy holidays, all of that. Every day is a holiday, right?
Yes, indeedy. Yes, indeedy. It'll be exciting to see what 2015 brings in, huh?
It sure will.
Yes, and thank you for all that. And I want to thank our listeners. May you have a blessed holiday, and we'll look forward to talking to you in the new year. Woohoo!